The Fraudcast is a diverse podcast dedicated to diverse views. As such, we attract a large variety of listeners and guests. The views and opinions expressed by the guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the podcast or its hosts. Any content provided is of their own opinion and not intended to malign any person, group, or organization. Appearance on the Fraudcast does not represent endorsement or acceptance of their views, either explicitly or implicitly. Listen responsibly.
Hi, Aidan Kearney, also known as Turtle Boy, live and in person, sort of in person. You're on Zoom because you were at a hearing this morning. We're going to talk about the Karen Reed case.
Excellent.
Right? I mean, that's what we're here for. I am so excited to have you here because there is, as somebody who watches like court TV, like it's my job, even though it's not. I've been seeing this case more and more as this case has been like getting more and more traction. But I was also like, I got involved in it because I know people in your local area who have been supporters of Karen Reed, supporters and whatnot. And so that this case has been on my radar for a long time. And now that it's getting traction in courts and stuff, and then we're going to come on and I'm going to let you introduce yourself and what your connection is a little bit. So you were going to come on, we were trying to schedule it. And then we had a little issue with an indictment, this allegation of witness tampering. So the case got even more complicated. So we're here now and I am so excited to talk to you about this case because I don't think anybody knows more about this case than you do. So can you tell my listeners who you are and why we care?
My name is Aidan Kearney. I'm a journalist. I run a website, a media company called Turtle Boy Daily News. It's basically consists of a website, some social media accounts, a YouTube channel. And I break major news stories. I've been doing it for about 10 years. Obviously, the biggest story to date continues to be the Karen Reed story, which has garnered national attention.
And yes, it has.
About a year and almost a year. And has also got me in a bit of legal trouble.
Bit of a legal pickle, if you will. So this case is coming to us out of, am I pronouncing it right when I say Canton?
Okay.
It's all Massachusetts, Boston. My co-host Amy is from the area and she would have known all this, but she had a scheduling conflict at the last minute. So she can come on and school me on all the sort of masshole words. Right. And I say that as a Bills fan with the most hatred involved. No, I'm just kidding. Bills fans, Patriots fans, we don't get along. Anyway, we'll put that aside for now since it is baseball season. Karen Reed. So the Karen Reed case, for those who, you know, aren't aware of it, it's originally started as, did Karen Reed back over her boyfriend and kill him either intentionally or accidentally? And he is a Boston police officer, or was a Boston police officer, John O'Keefe, rest in peace. He is the victim in this case. He turned up dead. And the allegation is that Karen backed over him in her car. Right. And then there's a lot of stuff that stems out of this. But what it turned into was, as it's being called on court TV and stuff, is it a cover up? Or it's the Canton cover up, or it's all these other things about whether the police are lying, whether the courts are lying, like prosecution. There's a federal investigation into the investigation. So we've got layers of investigations and stuff. And that doesn't even get into your involvement, your legal pickle. So take us back to the beginning of at what point this started, like becoming more than just a Karen Reed is accused of murder.
Oh, I mean, it's within, I don't know, 9 months. Karen's attorney started publicly saying in court filings, accusing the Alberts and the McCabes of killing John O'Keefe. And, you know, they had a significant amount of evidence to back it up, but they weren't getting much attention. Like, I wasn't paying attention to it. And I live in Massachusetts. What caught my attention was in April of 2023, when it was revealed that someone inside the house where John was dropped off at, and whose lawn his dead body was found upon, had Googled how long to die in cold at 2:27 in the morning. And the people inside the house claimed that John O'Keefe had not come in the house, that he had, they were expecting him, but he never came. So they assumed he had gone home and was in bed. So why would you Google how long to die in cold at 2:27 a.m. unless the plan?
Correct. And that goes to some of these evidentiary things, which there is a lot of in this case, which will bring us to the hearing that happened this morning. Mm-hmm. But just to back up a little bit, the McCabes and the, what's the other name?
Alberts.
That's right. Yep. So this is their house, right? This is there was a house party happening. John and Karen, they were all at bars together. They're at bars together. They gotten drunk, whatever. They were going to go continue the party. They pull up to the house. This is the story, right? They pull up to the house. They're not sure if they're actually invited or not. So John was going to go in and see if they were actually invited. And that's where the, I guess the cover up and the evidentiary issues sort of split, right? Mm. At that point, because was he in the house? Was he not in the house? And then we get into the evidence was there evidence on the car and things like that? But yeah, so you have these people that are inside the house he's supposed to go to saying, Googling how long does a body freeze to death or whatever the verb is. How long to die in cold. That's what it was. At 2:20 in the morning, which is before his body was found, correct? Allegedly?
Well, his body was found at 6 a.m.
Right. So, and that's when Karen went back over there, right?
Well, yeah. And the key is that Karen left there at 12:30. So, you know, and why would Jennifer McCabe Google how long to die in cold if she thought John was at home in bed?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So some of the evidence that has come out in some of these various court hearings and stuff is that, and then allegations of evidence too, was that there was not evidence on the taillight of her car with his DNA or without his DNA, right? Like, what is actually happening? What is your point of view of what the evidence shows in that regard?
Oh, the evidence shows that John O'Keefe was killed by the people inside the house, 34 Fairview Road, and not by, I mean, a child can see that this is not, I mean, you have to be intentionally stupid. And I mean that, like, anyone who says that John O'Keefe was killed by Karen Reed is either just so stupid, should not be allowed to vote, buy groceries, drive a car, do anything. They're too stupid to function. Or 99% of the people who claim that John O'Keefe was killed by Karen Reed are just mad at me. They just don't like me. Coincidentally, everybody who didn't like me prior to this story believes that Karen Reed's guilty. It's just such a coincidence.
We'll be right back. Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
And now back to the broadcast.
So this taillight, like from what I understand, now I haven't actually seen the evidence. Now, I'm a lawyer. I like to look at evidence, not necessarily people's representations of evidence, because as a lawyer, I make representations about evidence all the time. Now, I work as a government lawyer, so I have certain standards and stuff, but I get things all the time where it's people saying this and that. You see it on court TV. Da, da, da. I want to see the actual evidence. There's a lot of that we haven't seen in this case. But from what I understand, though, there we've seen like the FBI technician report on the taillight says there's no DNA to indicate that John O'Keefe was killed by the car, correct?
And the most important part is just look at the autopsy photos. Have you looked at the autopsy photos?
I personally have not. I'm not autopsy photo looker.
Look at the
I've seen the leg. I've seen the bite.
In the arm.
I call them the arm, the bite marks, right? Yeah, the dog bite marks.
Yeah. And Karen's car is not a transformer. It doesn't turn into a dog. Okay. And
yeah. So he's got
a man-eating German Shepherd that has sent two other people, according to the animal control records, two other people to the emergency room, and that dog has disappeared. Nobody knows where the dog is.
Nobody knows where the dog is, right?
The family dog of 6 years is just gone, disappeared. They sold the house, they got rid of the basement floor, and that's it. It was a generational home, been in the family for more than 50 years, and it's just gone. He also had a gigantic laceration in the back of his head from landing on grass. They found him 12 feet into the yard. And he also had big, raccoon eyes. And on top of that, he had vomit on his shorts. And he had zero bruises or injuries anywhere from his nose down. No broken bones, nothing.
It looks like he got punched in the face a whole bunch.
Yeah, from getting run over allegedly by a 3-ton vehicle going in reverse in the snow.
That only got out his face and his arm.
Not a single person in the house heard it. The two houses across the street both have Ring cameras. They didn't get it.
And you're stepping us through. So we start with we have the taillight, which there may or may not be any evidence that it ever came in contact with a human being. That's questionable, depending on who you ask. We have this dog bite evidence, right? Like they're saying that the Commonwealth is saying that this is evidence the car backed over her arm or road rash or something, or his arm.
Not saying
road rash or something like that. I've looked at those pictures. They look like dog bite pictures to me. His face, yeah. Right? So we have, then you have Google
That's
searches.
That's not what they're saying. They're not saying that. What you just said is untrue. That's not what they're saying. That's not what the Commonwealth is saying.
That those are car marks over his arm? What are they saying?
They're saying nothing. They have theory.
Okay.
And that's the most important part. They don't have any explanation, nor do they even attempt to explain it.
Okay, so this then, that's even more so. This goes into, what is the Commonwealth hiding? Why are there so many holes in all of this evidence? Because there's evidence that goes even further where the evidence of the Commonwealth's attorneys requesting certain phones be destroyed. Oh, we don't need them anymore. Evidence. They were talking about that at the hearing today. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not quite what they were saying. I mean, there's a lot to this
I mean, that's one of the arguments that one of the attorneys was making is that, I mean, that's what the papers say. So
yeah, they're saying that the FBI claims that
you believe it or not, and whether your interpretation of it, that's all up in the air right now. What I'm saying is that it points to, there's so many questions about this stuff that it points to these questions about whether the Commonwealth is hiding something. They're not turning over evidence. They're not turning over the fact that they've been investigated. They're being investigated federally for their investigation in this case. They kept that from the defense attorneys. There are so many holes in this case, in the evidence that the Commonwealth is putting out there, that it leads to a ton of questions as to what the hell are they doing. And I don't know if it's just they get caught more often than other police departments, but I feel like Boston police and Massachusetts police are always the subject of corruption documentaries that I see. Is that are they more corrupt than other places, or do they just get caught more, or what? My point being that they don't, it wouldn't surprise me if they're being corrupt in this case, right? And there are really a ton of holes in the evidence. So, this morning there was a motions hearing where they were there was a motion to dismiss and a motion to disqualify. And that has to do with the motion to disqualify the DA has to do with comments he said, extrajudicial comments that he may have said, showing his bias in this case, which again would be a level of corruption in this case. Tell me how you got involved from a legal perspective. Tell me what happened the day Aiden Turtleboy got arrested.
What happened?
Well, just tell me how'd you get involved? How did you get indicted in this case? What's that tangent?
Okay, so I've been aggressively covering this case as a journalist would. I've been holding
right.
I held a peaceful rolling rally in Canton on July 22nd, in which we went to the homes of Michael Proctor, the lead detective, who is best friends with the homeowners, the Alberts and the McCabes, and has known them for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. Protested outside of his house. We went to Jennifer McCabe's house. We peacefully protested outside of her house for 7 minutes. She's the woman who Googled how long to die in cold at 227. From there, we went to the home of Juliana Nagel. Juliana Nagel was inside 34 Fairview Road when John O'Keefe was murdered. Her brother, Ryan, she had called him for a ride. She came outside, told Ryan she no longer needed a ride, and then went back in, but then got a ride home from Jennifer McCabe an hour later. Ryan Nagel was there the entire time, sitting probably 30 feet away from Karen Reed, and told investigators that he did not see any sort of broken taillight on her car, nor did he see John O'Keefe inside the car or outside the car, meaning that John O'Keefe could only be inside the house. So we went to her house and we peacefully protested. From there, we went to 34 Fairview Road, where Brian Albert no longer lives because he sold the home and ran to Norwood. We actually started at his home in Norwood, which is a town that abuts Canton. From there, we ended the peaceful protest in front of the police station. 3 months later, they determined that this was a felony witness intimidation that we had committed.
Yeah. Peacefully protesting in public at someone's house suddenly becomes witness intimidation.
Well, according to the statute, the problem with the statute of Massachusetts is it says that anyone who causes physical, emotional, or financial harm to a witness, family member of a witness, or potential witness, or somebody who plans to attend the court proceedings, which basically covers the entire town of Canton now.
Because it's public, right?
Court
hearings are public, so theoretically anybody could go in.
If you cause emotional, physical, or financial harm to any of these people, then you are guilty of witness intimidation. I cause emotional harm for a living. That's what I do every day.
As a journalist disrupting what's going on, trying to get transparency.
All journalists cause emotional harm because the people that you're exposing doing wrongdoing aren't going to like it. They're not going to listen very much. And financial harm, this is the United States of America. We have a right to cause financial harm. You have a right to boycott a pizza place if it's owned by somebody who's involved in a murder. You have a right to protest outside of his pizza shop, as I did 3 times at Chris Albert's pizza place at D&E Pizza. He's also a member of the Board of Selectmen. For that, I've been charged with felony witness intimidation. On October 11th, my kids got on the bus and a truck rolled up and then a couple other trucks behind it. Guy gets out, tells me I'm under arrest for witness intimidation. 8 counts of felony witness intimidation, 1 count of conspiracy to commit witness intimidation, and 4 counts of picketing. And I was brought to Stoughton District Courthouse about an hour and a half away, and the media was waiting for me there. I was arraigned. I was released on personal recognizance, so no bail. Some stay away orders were initially put in place. I couldn't contact or ask questions to any of these alleged witnesses in case, including the lead detective, Michael Proctor. And I couldn't ask him questions, and Chris Albert, who is a member of the Board of Selectmen. So I couldn't go to Board of Selectmen meetings as I usually had done as a journalist. And on December 22nd, I was indicted. So the charges were indicted in Superior Court, which lengthens the prison sentence from 2.5 years per charge to 10 years per charge. And they think they added 1 or 2 more counts of conspiracy, whatever. So that happened on December 22nd. But at my indictment, I also had a victory because the stay away orders were taken away.
Excellent.
Okay. And the next night, I went to an ex-girlfriend who I had broken up with a couple weeks ago. She turned out to be a psychopath, and as soon as I dumped her on December 9th, she began to contact the state police and said, I have information. Aiden talks to Karen Reed. Karen Reed is a witness intimidation. They talk every day and blah, 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 blah. And so she, on December 22nd, she, after my victory in court, she messaged me a picture of a summons that the police were at her house. And I said, how do the police know who you are? Like, and she couldn't answer it.
Oh, because she must have, therefore she must have told, yeah, gone to
them. Is up. I'm like, how do they know who you are? And so she came clean that night. She started crying to me saying, I'm so sorry. I was just mad at you. I didn't think the police, she told some people. She's like, but then they told the police and now the police are involved. And now I don't want to do this. I'm scared and I love you and blah, 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 blah.
And so they're now saying that you peacefully protesting at these people's houses is somehow felony witness intimidation because reasons.
Well, that's all with the story. You're missing the best part.
So okay. Okay.
So she invites me over and I felt bad for her that she was in this jam. They wanted her phone. And so I went over her apartment. Unbeknownst to me, she was in communication with the state police the entire time I was there. And I had met her in a common area because I didn't feel safe going in her apartment. And finally, she has four kids and one of them allegedly woke up. And so she needed to go back in there at 11. I went back in there and she let me look all through her phone about all her messages between her and the police and blah, 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 blah. Okay. And next thing you know, at 3 a.m, I wanted to leave and she wanted me to stay over. And I said, no, it's Christmas Eve. I have to get back home. And so she had been pretending to be pregnant for the last month and a half prior to that.
Oh, that's another level.
The abortion pill in front of me, even though she's not pregnant, just as an attempt to get me to keep me to like force me to stay there. And I said, this is insane. You're not pregnant. I have to leave. And she's like, you can't fucking leave me. And she woke all of her kids up and said 2, 3, 5, and 11 and at 3:30 a.m. and said, we're going to get in the car and we're going to drive to Aiden's house. I live an hour away. And if I crash, it's going to be his fault because I'm having cramps. And just like I realized at this point, the kids were in danger if I left. She was going to follow me. And so I agreed to stay there and just sit on the couch while she pretended to have an abortion in the other room. And so I left at 5 a.m. and I was so tired that I fell asleep behind the wheel of my car on the highway when I went home when I crashed.
Oh, and no.
6 hours later, I get informed that there is a BOLO out for me because she went to the police and said that I hit her. And a completely made up story. I had my bail revoked on December 26th. I spent 60 days in jail. The day that I got out of jail, they dropped the assault and battery charges because a lie. And the whole purpose of the charging me with it was to just revoke my bail
and bring you back in and intimidate you.
And there's a chance I will be going back to jail in 2 days. I got out on February 23rd because I went to the Karen Reed hearing on February 26th, as I always do. Mm-hmm. For the first time, Lindsay Catani showed up.
And who is Lindsay Catani?
She's my ex.
Oh, she's the ex. Okay. Yeah,
she has a restraining order on me.
Oh, okay.
And she has never come to a hearing before in her life. And she used to be seeing Karen Reed. And now that, you know, we've broken up, she decided to befriend the Alberts and the McCabes, and she came with them to court holding her restraining order, and I was evicted from the courthouse. I had to leave because I can't be within 100 yards of her.
Oh, and no.
I asked the cop where to go because I needed to be 100 yards away. He directed me to where to go, and I remained there, and I never saw her again. She went to the police 5 hours later and said that I came within 100 yards of her and was yelling at her that she was a liar, which is ironic because that in and of itself is a lie. And now the police have charged me with violation of a harassment prevention order. There's no evidence or anything like that.
I will
hopefully they're going to try to revoke my bail on Thursday, but hopefully if the truth can come out this time, we'll see.
Okay. Okay. So you have a bail revocation hearing coming up. Okay. We'll keep an eye out for that. But backing it up, holy shit. I mean, first of all, holy shit. But backing it up, the ex-girlfriend mentions, he talks to Karen Reed every day. And, yeah. And as I understand it from watching some of this hearing today, they were like, Aiden and Karen talked every day. We seize their phones. They talk every day. Oh, my God. What I'm confused about is how that is somehow problematic. And my theory, just from being a lawyer that I am, I'm, you know, imagining their theory is that it's somehow evidence of collusion and conspiracy to intimidate these witnesses.
Correct.
Is what I'm assuming. Okay.
That's correct.
So that's their theory of how they roped you into it. And then you have this other side bit with the ex-girlfriend that's now.
That's their theory, because that's what the ex-girlfriend told the investigators.
Told them.
Was that Karen pulls the strings on Turtle Boy. All this witness intimidation he's been doing, Karen makes him do it. Like, and they use that as a basis to get a warrant to seize Karen's phone. And they went to her house, the police did, and took her phones, all based on the word of a mentally unbalanced, crazy woman who got dumped. That's it. That's all this is.
Oh my gosh. It's like the initial how you got pulled in for this witness intimidation is kind of, I want to say it's almost comical, but this is your life. So I don't want to make light out of the fact that it is a very serious thing that they're alleging against you. But it's like, it just seems comical that that's how they brought it in. Of course, I haven't seen any evidence. I haven't seen what the evidence says to support it and all that stuff. And then for having it go the extra mile that it did with the car accident and this and the restraining order at the court, it's like all these layers. And it's just, there's so much to this case. And I mean, I'm really glad that you're following this, because there is so much to this case, so that I can go to like one source and get what the information is. Although I have been told, he's a conspiracy theorist here. We love him.
I'm actually not. I've never bought
it. And so I don't know. That was the exact quote I got, but it was, they love you. They listen to you. They watch you on your YouTube and stuff, but he's a conspiracy theorist. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, I don't know what the judgment is on that.
They're trying to label you as like QAnon or some shit like that. Like, I've never bought into conspiracy theories my entire life. I don't do conspiracy theories. This isn't a conspiracy theory.
This doesn't sound like conspiracy theory territory to me at all.
The conspiracy theorists are the people who think that somebody with dog bites on their arm got run over by a car. That's a conspiracy theorist.
It's that there is so many holes in this evidence, and there's so many things that, like, why are the feds investigating their investigation?
Yeah, that's very often.
That's problematic. They're alleging
the feds are corrupt now. This is what the defenders of the McAlberts do. The feds are actually corrupt now.
Everybody.
They're the conspiracy theorists. The people who believe that this is all a big lie. Mm-hmm. They're like, how do you explain how a man with dog bites on his arms got run over by a car? You have to be a conspiracy theorist to explain that. There's no other way.
And it sounds like they're creating conspiracies about how the search at 2:20 a.m. about how long to die in cold, they're like trying to say that was later at 6 something in the morning. So now we're getting this battle, quote unquote, battle.
It was at 6:24. She Googled it twice. She thought she was, she thought she was crazy. She deleted the 2:27 search. And then she's like, fuck. God damn it.
They're going to be able to retrieve it. So I'll do it again after.
Oh, yeah, I'll do it again after we find the body. Then it'll make sense if I, Google that. And hopefully, and she spelled it wrong the exact same way. And it actually comes up as a suggested thing. When you look at the Celebrate data, it comes up as a suggested thing, meaning she Googled it earlier. It's like undeniable.
I think it's really interesting. Just as a side note, I've been seeing a lot of, I love how the Google searches are coming up in murder cases or in crime cases, just as a general thing, because you guys, like, your electronic footprint is going to be out there. Like, I'm a weird podcaster who does like the things that I podcast about. So my Google search history is batshit bananas. Like, it doesn't make any sense to anybody, but I'm not, the average person out there, Googling how long to die in cold when there's a man with his face beat in laying on your front lawn. And regardless of how you think it happened, he was laying there on the front lawn. We know this. This is a thing. Like, you can't deny that happened. And so, I don't know. The holes in this case, I don't see it as a conspiracy, but personally, I see it as there's a lot of evidence, or there should be a lot of evidence to explain if the theory is the Commonwealth that they have, there should be evidence to support it. You should not bring, you shouldn't be this far in a case if you don't have the evidence to support it. Right. Show me the evidence. And they're not. right? They're not showing the us evidence, the evidence.
She's an angry, there's a bunch of text messages where she's calls John a cocksucker and a piece of shit. And they were in a toxic relationship. A lot of people are in toxic relationships.
Right. Boyfriend and girlfriend fought. Yeah. So is that the theory of their intent? Like what happened? Like what the was Karen's bit. Intent of how she ran over, why she ran over her boyfriend to begin yeah. with in their theory? And their idea was that yeah. they had a fight. Female. She was single cheating on him, syndrome. Blah, yeah. blah, blah.
Single white female syndrome. Like right. She's like crazy bitch and was blaming on her. And she must've hit him and ran him over. And they have taillight evidence too.
Well, that's what we started with the evidence, because, you know, that would, in theory, start the evidentiary chain. And that is questionable. Their expert says there's no DNA there to support
that. The DNA? It's 6 o'clock when the Canton police arrived at the scene and searched the area around his body. There was no taillight.
No broken taillight anywhere. Taillight.
Yeah. Then it snowed over a foot. And 12 hours later, the state police came in.
Suddenly.
At that time, Michael Proctor, the lead detective who was friends with the homeowners, took control of that car. And he had it towed from her parents' house. All of a sudden, the state police find 4 pieces of red taillight after a foot of snow has fallen that somehow the Canton Police Department just missed. They just missed
right.
it. And then in 5 subsequent undocumented searches, they found 35 more pieces of taillight on that front lawn that the Canton Police Department they missed it. They're completely blind.
Okay. Yeah, that screams a little like planted evidence to yeah. me. If all this, you know, of course I'm very much, if all this stuff can be proven and shown and things like that. And it sounds like the Commonwealth is doing everything in its power to get that stuff, like anything that's questionable, you know, excluded or whatever, so that they can only show their evidence that supports their theory, which of course they're going to do. But it sounds like, I mean, Karen has a top-notch legal team that... It sounds like they're doing an awesome job with her defense as far as just like the merits of the case, but also the cover-up stuff, right? It looks like they are not letting any of that stuff go. And I love that she's able to do that. I love that there are people like you out there that are trying to expose this stuff. You know, we need journalists, we need you guys out there. We need all kinds of journalists. We need the people like you on the ground to show us what's really happening. Whether you ultimately, you know, whether people ultimately believe this or not. And I don't know that I can personally, you know, I'm not a juror in this case and I haven't been presented with the evidence, but it sounds like there's a lot of freaking holes in this case. And the defense is shining a light on every single one. And the Commonwealth needs to put up or shut up. And it sounds like they need to shut up because they're not able to put up. And I truly am glad that there are people like you out there. And
Thank you. And so,
keep doing this. I know you've got a top-notch legal team too, that's supporting, you know, what you're doing and all of this stuff. And I'm happy to have you, as this case progresses, I'm happy to have you back on and give us updates on your case, on Karen's case. You know, get the word out there and say, hey, you know, there's a whole group of people and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Where can people go to find, well, there's your stuff. So tell people where to find you.
They can find me, my website, tbdailynews.com. You can check out our YouTube channel, Turtle Boy Live. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Dr. Turtle Boy, D-O-C-T-O-R Turtle Boy. Or you can follow us on Facebook. My account's called Clarence Woods Emerson. We just have another page called Turtle Boy. So we're on Instagram. We're on all social medias.
Okay. And we will have all of that linked below. So if you didn't catch any of that, you guys can link it in the show notes. But also there are tons of like Facebook groups out there too, for this, just the Karen Reed case. If you Google Free Karen Reed, which is like the chant, right? Free Karen Reed. That's the merch, the t-shirts, the sweatshirts. That's what people say is Free Karen Reed, right? And that's what you guys do in your protests and your standouts and all the things you guys are doing to support her. And so if people want to get in more information about the case, I would say go find Turtle Boy and he'll have other information. You could find some of these Facebook groups where they discuss these evidence and stuff too. But if you need a good starting point, just go straight to Turtle Boy and you can go from there to learn the rest. And would you please come back and give us an update?
Absolutely.
Okay. Or at least text me when you get out of, after your hearing on Thursday and let me know what's going on. I'm very curious. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it, Turtle Boy. And best of luck. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D and I've had a reduction and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear. But not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.